what was going to happen there.
Is everybody still here?
We're here. So I want to make sure I didn't push the wrong button there. I get a little confused sometimes how to get back off of the hold or halftime. But I'm again glad to be here this morning with my dad, and I know that he's been seeking the Lord and trying to listen to his voice, and I just pray that the Lord would bless him in everything that he's doing. And so I give you my dad and with Jesus.
Thank you, Mike. I'm going to read out of Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to start with verse 7 when I get around to it. I'm going to tell you a little story first. When our boys was little, my son Mark was so little, he was even saying widow, am I widow? And so that's pretty young. And we had a picture behind the couch, and him and I were laying on the couch just talking, and I asked him, I said, how'd you like to go for a walk in that picture? And it was a beautiful picture, mountains, forest, creek, and you could see a little path on one side of the creek that looked like it was going up into the wilderness of trees and everything. So he said yes, and I said, well, it's a beautiful day, and we're walking down this path, and you come to a tree stump in the path, what are you going to do? And this is a psychology test that psychologists give to people so they can find out what kind of personality they have. What you do with these situations is tell them what kind of a personality you are and everything. And so I said, what are you going to do with that tree stump? And he said, well, I'll go around it. Well, some people go around it. Some people jump over it. Some people just sit on it. Some people stand on it and everything. And so I said, okay, now you walking along the path some more and you come to a bear in the path. What are you going to do with that bear? He said, I'm going to take my T-shirt off and throw it on the ground and run. And I told my kids to do that when they were little. And hopefully the bear will stop and tear the T-shirt up so you can get away. And so I said, okay, so now we're past the bear, and you come to a girl in the path. What is she dressed like? Man, I mean lightning fast. That kid said black hair, pink ribbon in her hair, pink blouse, black skirt, pink shoes, pink socks and black shoes. And he just, boy, that just kind of amazed me. He knew exactly what she looked like. I said, well, what are you going to do with that girl? He says, am I a widow or am I big? And I said, well, what are you going to do if you was little? He said, I'd help her find her mama. And I said, what would you do if you were big? And he said, I'd take her with me. And so I've thought about that. And I think that as Christians, we don't know whether we're a widow or whether we're big. And so we're going to talk about that today. Okay, In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Years ago, a lady gave her testimony, and she said she was worried about something. And these words flashed on the wall. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. And I thought that what this verse said, but it doesn't say that. That was a good revelation for that lady because she was having trouble with some of the men in the church and they were doing wrong, and so the Lord helped her with that. But here's what this thing says: be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. It is not easy for me to explain to you if you're little or if you're big, because I don't know where you stand in life, but I don't know very much about how big I am in Christ. It seemed like I spend a lot of my time worrying about trying to do right, because I want to. And if I do something wrong, I feel bad about it for quite a while, and I concentrate on that, and that's not a very joyful thing to do in your life. I thought years ago, why do I want to go out and try to get other people to join the church? They're going to be just as miserable as I am. So I have got to do something so that I have something to offer people that's exciting and that's meaningful and needful in their life. And so I'm going to try to give you some things that you can use in your life, that you can concentrate on who you are in Christ rather than worrying all the time about not being able to do good in your life, or concentrating on the problem that you're going through and wondering, like we've talked about, if you're learning fast enough. And there's a lot of things going on in our life that we just wonder, you know, why is this happening? I would like to have you, you don't have to turn to it, but I'll tell you how you can remember it and look it up later. It's Deuteronomy 33:3. Those are all threes, and that helps me, but I never could remember what it was. 333 or 33:3. It's at the beginning of the chapter, so you can remember that. It is Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. We don't understand a whole lot of things that are happening in our life and wonder about them. And Michael was going through a real bad time in his life, and the Lord talked with him and Judy a lot. And Michael said that the Lord told him, I'm going to explain all of that to you one of these days. I'm going to, you know, gather the family all around and explain to you why everything had to happen the way that it did. And I thought to myself, that guy is doggone it. You know, where is that? I just never had heard that before, and I doubted very much, you know, if it was true. I bet it wasn't 3 or 4 days till I found this passage of Scripture, and it says, yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Now that answered that for me, that I knew someday the Lord's going to set us all down. So let me tell you why all this happened. And I think that is going to happen in our life. So I'm going to play this song that tells you who you are in Christ in a nutshell, a whole bunch of things, more than I can go through and pick them out, because I'm just now learning them. When I first started studying back in 1955, maybe some of you weren't around then, I just studied for one thing. I wanted to prove the Mormons were wrong. Everything I read, that was my desire. What am I going to find that I can prove that they're wrong? And my dad had a dream one time, and he said that he was in his dream that he was sick, and he said in his dream to me, he said, preach to me, preach to me. And when he told me that the next day, I thought, what in the world would I preach? I don't know what I'd preach. And that's been bothering me for a long time. But now I know what I would preach. So I'm going to sing this song. You've probably heard it before, I hope. And we'll learn some things about who we are in Christ so that we can be concentrating on them in our life in the place of feeling depressed because we're not learning enough, we're not as good as we should be, we want to become worthy. I'll tell you something right now, you are not ever going to become worthy. You can stop working toward that because it's not going to happen. You can, however, become more worthy. But you don't have a leg to stand on in your standing with the Lord. Only what you have through Christ, that's the only thing you can count on. It's His merits and not ours. So we'll see what happens here. In Him I live and move and have my being. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot be conquered, I'm a stranger to defeat. And by His riches in glory supplies my need. I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He was raised from the dead to justify me. And I confess Him as my Lord, Physician, and King. And in Him I live and I move and I have my being. In Him I live and move and have my being. I'm a new creature in Christ and with joy I sing. His life, His love, His nature and ability are mine as I reign in life, 'cause He lives in me. I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He was raised from the dead to justify me. And I confess Him as my Lord, Physician, and King. And in Him I live and I move and I have my being. In Him I live and move and have my being. What a vast storehouse of power in Christ my King. In Christ my Savior and Lord I have life today. A strength for impossible tasks that come my way. I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He was raised from the dead to justify me. And I confess Him as my Lord, Physician, and King. And in Him I live and I move and I have my being. Well, there's a lot of things there that we can think about of who we are in Christ. But I want to try to encourage you, stop feeling bad about all the things that you do that are wrong and wishing you could become better. You are going to become better because He is working in you to change you. And there was a, what's that Gill, John Gill's daughter's name at the cop in Phoenix or someplace?
Laura.
What?
Laura.
Yeah. She she gave her testimony in Springfield one time, and she said that in her life, she kind of plans out what her day should be, and if it don't go like that, she gets very upset. And she said, the other day, I woke up, and things didn't go my way, and I wasn't upset. And she just realized that something had changed in her life. It seemed that I got the idea that she was really concentrating on trying to overcome that. But she just woke up one day, and she didn't think like that anymore. And in Jude chapter 24, this brings out how the Lord is working in you. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. And I've been working on that for probably, 10 years. And I have a teaching on that that's called Now Unto Him. And I didn't realize that the Lord was working so much in my life, kind of like behind the scenes, to make me to be more like Him. And, you know, something that did something for me. That helped me to know that the Lord was on my side. He wasn't fighting me. Like we read in Job today something about that. I can't remember just how it went, but it kind of hinted to the fact that the Lord was doing something. And I think it was that he should depress the work of his hands. I don't think he wants us to be depressed. I think he wants us to have great joy. So I hope that you can learn some things that will help you think more every day about who you are in Christ and start concentrating on those things. I'm going back to Galatians now. It's in here someplace, I know. It says, God is not mocked.
What?
Yeah. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. I've got another teaching that I make up, that I made up over the years, because we had a problem with my son Mark. Every time we start talking about the last days and the mark of the beast and the destructions that were coming, he'd get up and leave the room. I thought, well, he's got to go to the bathroom. But he never did come back, which that's no big deal. But when this happens three Sundays in a row, you begin to worry about it. So I went and asked him, what's wrong? Why do you leave? He said, Dad, I just can't stand to talk about that stuff. It just scares me, and I just can't do it. And so then I began to started out on page 75 in the Book of Mormon, and it said something like, if the Lord has to, he's going to destroy our enemies by fire. And so then I began to find a whole lot of places where it talked about the deliverance that the Lord's going to have. And one of the things in there, like whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. The righteous are going to reap the works of their hand, and the wicked are going to reap the works of their hands. And so there's some things that you need to be doing before hard times come, and so that you can kind of have something on your record, if you know what I mean. Some works that are going to be returned to you that are going to be good and deliver you. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those that are of the household of faith. Now, I want to tell you something. Now, you don't always have an opportunity to do good. There, you know, you just can't wake up every day and find something that you can do for somebody else that'll help them. But the Lord will open up the ways for you so that you can do that. I remember one time, oh gosh, this has been years ago, and I told my sons, Mike and Mark, I said, I need to, you know, learn how to witness to people. I don't even know how to do that. Boy, they both started getting real nervous. And they said, well, Dad, and I thought, you know, I really don't know how to do that. If these guys know that I am so messed up on that, maybe I shouldn't even try. But I prayed about it, and I wanted to do that. So I picked up a hitchhiker on the way home one night. And I thought, oh boy, this might be my opportunity to witness to this man. So he gets in the car and sits down. I said, how's things going for you? And he said, not very good. I think I need Jesus in my life. I told Mark that, and he said, Dad, piece of cake. Well, come to find out, this guy had given his life to the Lord, but it didn't. The next day when he woke up, he didn't have that same feeling. Mark that word, feeling, because a lot of times this work of the Lord is not a feeling, it's faith. Thomas, he wanted to feel. He said, I'm not even going to believe this whole thing. I don't care what that woman said. I don't care what those two witnesses said. I don't care what you guys said to me last week when you met here and I wasn't here. I'm not going to believe till I see it. So Jesus appeared and just used my own words. Hey, Thomas, come over here. I want you to feel something. And so Thomas did that, and in my opinion, he had more knowledge of who he was talking about, who was standing before him, than the rest of them, because he just said, my Lord and my God. So anyway, this guy didn't have feelings, and he had given his life to the Lord about three times, but he didn't have the feeling. So I explained to him about feelings, and that you had to go by what the Word said. That's why I know that I have eternal life right now, because I believe what the Word says about it. And the Book of Mormon uses the expression, the testimony of the Word. And that's what we really do need. I think it's between John, one of the letters that little letters that John wrote, and Peter wrote. And they said, look, we walk with this guy. We felt with our hands the Word of life. We were right there and sleeping with him. Man, we got, you know, we're with that. But Peter said, but we have something better than that. We've got the Word of prophecy. And so I thought to myself, boy, oh boy. If, you know, if I walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, I wouldn't think there'd be anything better than that. But Peter points out, stick to the Word. Stay in the Word. That's where it's at, in the Word. And so there are time in your life when you can do good. That's when you need to do it. But it's not always. But it says, what does it say? As we have opportunity, let us do that. So, I'm going to tell you another story. How many of you have read the book Tale of Two Cities?
Long time ago.
Charles Dickinson wrote that, and I don't know if it's a true story or not. They tell about Marie Antoinette. They call her Bloody Mary. But anyway, in this book, there was three people Lucy and Sydney and Charles, we'll call them. And Lucy loved Charles a whole bunch. And Sydney was always trying to get her affections. And unfortunately, Charles had a lot of money. And Marie Antoinette was against anybody that had money, and she would put them in jail and chop their heads off. And so whenever Charles got put in jail because he had too much money, well, Sidney moved in, and he wanted to get Lucy's affection, and he tried really hard. But it didn't work. She was in love with Charles, and Sidney could not break that. He just finally saw that he never was going to win Lucy. So Sidney and Charles looked similar, but by now Charles has been in jail long enough where he's got a beard. So Sidney goes to see Charles, and he hides a, we call it a thing that make you look different, a disguise. And when he went into prison to talk to Charles, he traded places with him. They traded clothes, and Sidney put on a beard, you know, a false beard. And then Charles asked to get out of prison. And so Charles escaped prison, that was supposed to die, and Sidney was there in his place. And when the day that they got... when he went to the guillotine, Sidney said this. He said, "It is a far better thing that I do than anything that I've ever done, and it's a far better place that I go than any place that I have ever been." And a friend of mine told me this story, and him and his wife read it together, and when they got done reading that book, he looked at her and he said, "Do we have anything in our life that we can say that it is a far better thing that I do than anything that I've ever done?" And you know, those two people, that changed their lives. They started finding things to do that they could say that it's a far better thing than they do. That these people are into everything. They don't do it too much right now, but they were, let's see, I think he was a FEMA. He was the county FEMA leader. And it's just amazing to see these two people and what they do. And we know them very well. They used to be members of the church, but this lady was, boy, she had a hard time with the Book of Mormon. And even though she was baptized, and she just never really could get a handle on that. And so I thought to myself, what have I done that I can say that it's a far better thing that I do than anything that I've ever done? And I think that goes along, it says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those that are household of faith. Well, because of the prayers of my wife, I'm able to go to jail once a week and visit with those guys and talk to them about the Lord. And when I started going, I don't know, maybe it's been 3 years now, there was a problem with these guys. They were getting out and going back to their old friends, and even though they'd learned about the Lord and given their life to Him, they just got sucked back into the same way that they were doing. So one of the men that was going to jail had some, that was a minister, he had some apartments, and so he started giving these men that get out apartments where they could not have to go back to their old friends and choose new friends. And then we saw that they had to have some place to go, so we started a group called Saturday Night Live, and they can come there. and meet other people that have been in jail and so forth. And I support that, but I really didn't get it started. It's everybody else that did it, but I have part of that, and I am glad that I do that because I feel like there's something I do that can help other people. And another thing that he said before he died, it is a far better place that I go than any place that I've ever been. And I hope that we all can believe that and understand that because of what the Word says, because Jesus said, if you believe in me, and then he just starts making all kind of promises. And it says, if you love me, you'll love my Father also. And if you keep my commandments, we will come and manifest. I think it maybe says, I will come and manifest myself to him. And so those are wonderful places. When I first started out in the restoration years ago in another church, I didn't think you could know if you were going to heaven or not. And I have learned through different things that have happened to me in my life. One man said that, he says, two young men come up to my house and riding bicycles. They had white shirts and ties on. They were very nice. And I knew right away who they were. He said, they told me that I couldn't know if I was saved till after I died. But he said, they got to me too late. And I thought to myself, that guy knows something I don't know. And I am going to find out what it is. And so over the years, I have found out what it is. And now I know what he knew. And so I hope that you'll, I don't know, not be discouraged about what you're not able to do. I know one of my most discouraging things that I've had since I was in the seventh grade, that I knew you should pray continually. Oh, I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. But I can't say that now because I found a bunch of things that I put together that if you'd like them, I'll get it for you, and that is how to pray continually. Because we're not only told to pray continually, we're told to do some other things. Meditate in the Word day and night. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And we can be memorizing Scripture, trying to go through learning passages that we need to know already. So there's a lot of things that you can do besides pray continually that the Word says to do continually. And you can go between those different things. But the one thing that I learned that helped me so much in that is not to feel bad because I can't do it. And so I have eliminated that from my life. And if I find myself not praying, I don't get after myself about it and try to feel bad because I'm not able to do it yet. But I can do it because it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I've spent 70 years of letting my, see, like Michael says, letting my mind run all over the world like a wild horse. I never even thought about trying to pray continually in a, see, I put forth a conscious effort to do that. And it's hard for me because I have to untrain my mind. And it still wants to go some places, but I'm getting a halter on it. It's changing. But if nobody ever told me how to do it, I would have never had a step-by-step thing where I could put forth a conscious effort to really do that. So I hope you'll not feel bad because you don't do it, but keep trying because you can do it. And if you want that paper, I'll send it to you if you'll ask. So, God bless every one of you. I love you guys so much. Some of you I've known for a long time, and I just ask the Lord to bless you and help you in your life to be more like Christ. And thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you, Dad. I think one of the things that I often lose sight of is the fact that there is a... Have you ever been running some of the... I'm not real good with a computer and a fax machine and so forth, and sometimes I've got to have Judy do stuff for me because I just don't spend enough time on it. And I was trying to make a fax the other day, and it came back and said there's been a communications error. And I thought, well, you know, they're not, the fax machines aren't talking to each other or something. And I think that's basically what our problem is. Because of the fall of Adam and because of what happened at the Tower of Babel, we lost communication with our Father, our Creator, and we lost communication with each other because of what happened at the Tower of Babel. And so we need to try to learn to be communicating with our Father in heaven and not have a communications error because of life and things that are going on, and have this relationship with Him so that we're not robbed and that God's not mocked in our life. So I thank you all very much for being here today, and I would like to... is there anybody we need to pray for while we're closing here?